Trust in you, God, you have your final say. you believe this morning. We believe.
Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand clap. My goodness. Let's believe for it this morning. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Our God is a good, amazing, loving God, filled with power and goodness and ready to touch your life. Amen. That is what his desire is every day. And every time he gets an opportunity, he wants to show himself strong for you. Amen. You know, the Bible says that the Lord's hand is not short, that it cannot save. Amen. And so we just need to make sure that we understand that and we keep him before us and we keep our heart focused on him so that we can see him in every aspect of our life. Amen. And so I see that you guys see I'm by myself today. Amen. And so Pastor Regina is on a much-needed rest time and enjoying herself, and I'm trying to struggle through being a bachelor. And that's difficult, you know. I miss her, so it's good, though. It'll all be okay. I'll make it. I'll survive with the Lord's help and with Philip's help. Praise the name of the Lord. And so we want to make sure that the big announcement that I know of is that Amber and Logan are renewing their vows this Saturday coming up at 3 p.m. So that's going to be a time that you're welcome to come out and a time where we're going to see God just touch that ceremony, and it's going to be a great time for us. And, of course, then we also have the men's breakfast, so I want all the guys that can make it to come to the men's breakfast, and that'll be a good time. And we're building up to October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd when the men will be fasting for the church and for their families and for themselves and what God is working on them and dealing with them on, and so that's all good stuff. Amen? All right, so at this time, we're going to let the children go to Children's Church. Amen. And today we're going to have a tithe and offering message today.
All right. So real quick, I told your wife she can't say no.
What?
I told your wife she can't say no this weekend when you do your renewal.
Legally, she's obligated to say yes.
Yeah, but, you know. All right. So this morning, for our offering, I wanted to read Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, where it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And I took this scripture and I put it with the famous scripture, Matthew 6:33, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you." And I started to think about how many times during offering where I myself will be like, oh, well, I can't give today because I have this, this, or this, or I need to do this. I need to make time for all these other different things. But the Bible doesn't tell me to seek him and plan out. The Bible doesn't tell me to seek him and make demands. The Bible doesn't tell me to seek him and tell him, okay, God, I'm seeking you. I'm going to put the offering in, but I need you to do this within this certain amount of time. All it says is seek him. It says all the things will be added. Doesn't say by our desires, by our heart, by our thoughts. It just says it'll be added according to his riches and glory. So that means that he's going to determine it. He's going to make that decision. He's going to be the one that gives you what is necessary for your life. The blessings that come on to that offering. Yeah, we have expectations. Yeah, we have faith. But his ways are higher than our ways. So when we get challenged through the offering, God doesn't expect us to sit here and be like, yeah, God, but that cuts into my car money, my insurance money, my electric bill money. God just expects you to say, you know what? Your ways are not mine, so I'm going to do it. So I just want to challenge you guys today just to give out of whatever he's putting in your heart to give. And we're going to go put the buckets out, and I'm going to pray for the offering. So, Father God, I just thank you that you bless this offering, Lord God. I thank you that you bless each and every single one of us that are in here today, Lord God, and that we understand that your ways are not ours, Father God, and that you will see fit on how our lives are going to be blessed through this, Father God. And I just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Today we're going to take a little look at identity and authority. Amen. And I think it's important for us to recognize that in this time in which we live, we live in a time where God is calling us up higher, amen? We are, as we move forward, moving into not less, but coming into the move of God's power and authority, amen? And we're going to need to see more and more of his power and authority in our life. And I just want to start by reading out of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, it says this, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet in our inward man is renewed day by day." You know, the Bible says that your inward man is renewed day by day. That means that spiritually you should be getting stronger day by day. Amen? It means that we should be refreshed and renewed and strengthened in God on a daily basis, because he knows what we're living in, what's going on in life, and he's with us to help us get through every aspect of it. Amen? And so our God wants us each to know his goodness and how much he wants to move on our behalf and how much he wants to move in our lives. You know, it could be possible that for far too long we've operated in life as less than what God has made us. Amen? Could be possible that for far too long we have forgotten this very important scripture that I'm going to read to you. And it's out of Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that move upon the earth." You know, I wonder if as believers, if we oftentimes remember, or do we forget that we're made in his image? And I wonder if we forget that because we're made in his image, the Bible says that we should have dominion. And in Romans chapter 5, it says that we should reign on this thing called earth. Amen? and that we should be in positions to rule this life well and to live this life well and to live this life strong because God is with us. Amen? And he wants us to know that we can live this life in the way that he wants us to live it because he's made us. Amen? I'm going to read here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." You know, I want to make sure that we're living with Christ being the focus of our life. Amen? And that we're not just focused on ourselves, but we're focused on the will and the purpose and the plan of God in our life. "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You know, sometimes I think that we forget that we're brand new creatures in Christ. Amen? You know, we still want to refer to ourselves as just sinners saved by grace, or we want to consider ourselves poor, or we want to consider ourselves not able or not likely to do certain things. But God is telling us that we're a brand new creature in him. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to that which God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." So here are some of the words that the Bible says about us, that we're new creatures, that being born again, we've been made alive, brought into the very image of Jesus Christ. We've been quickened. We're reconcilers, ambassadors, soldiers, children, and sons and daughters of God. These are the identities that we need to walk in, and we need to make sure that we're grabbing a hold of this so that we can live the kind of life that we're supposed to live. You know, we're going to get to the point where we talk about confession a little bit today because it's so critical. You know, Galatians 3:26 says that we're all children of God by faith. That means that we're chosen by God. Amen? We're chosen by him to be who we are and to be living right now during this time that we're living. You know, I want you to know something, that in Romans 5:6 it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Now, what that means is that in due time means that there's an expected at time, or a planned at time, or an appointed time, a certain time. So I want you to know that the time in which you are here living is a set time that God chose for you to be on the earth. It means that your salvation was at a due time and at an appointed time and a purpose by God. It means that Moses, David, Esther, Jesus, Paul the Apostle, each of them lived at an appointed time, and they have fulfilled what their part of their purpose was, and that you need to know that even right now, today, you're living at an appointed time. You are appointed to be on the earth at this time because God believed in your faith and who you were, and who you are for this season that we're living in. God knew the things that you'd be facing and the challenges that you'd be facing, and he appointed you to live during this time because he felt like you would be the one that would live for him and keep the gospel alive and keep it going forward. Amen? Amen. So each and every one of us has been called into this appointed time to live after God for the time that he has us here on this earth. And I want you to know that that means that you can be successful in this life that we're living in, that you can do things of God in this time that we're living. Amen? Because God has purposed and called each of us into this time and into this moment and into who you are today. You know, it says in 1 Peter 2:9, says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You know, sometimes I think we forget as a church that we are the people of God. That God has us here for a purpose. And that as his people, we're the ones that need to pray and need to be the ones that are fighting for what needs to be fought for. You know, today is the day that we remember 9/11. Amen? And as I think about that, I remember that when 9/11 happened, there was not much I could do, but I could pray. And I remember that I began to pray on that day. And I believe that sometimes we forget as believers that we have assignments in this thing called life where we're the ones that are supposed to be praying and we're the ones that are supposed to carry the torch of faith for the world. Amen? Because I want you to know something, that the Bible says that the Lord tarries and he's waiting for all of those who are going to be saved. Amen? And so that lets us know that the earth is remaining because of us and because those who are yet to come to the kingdom, amen? And so we need to take honor in that and making sure that we're doing what we know to do right now today to live for God and to live in a way that God can come upon us, amen? It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Did you know that this is a part of who you are in God? That you don't have a spirit of fear. Amen? And I tell you what, if you're battling fear and if you're battling anxiety and things like that, I would take this scripture and this scripture would become a part of my warfare. That every time I felt anxiety or every time I felt like I was fearful about something, this would become a part of my warfare, that I would know that the Lord did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And I'd fight that battle with that word because that is the word that God has given us. Amen? I want you to know that it's very important for us to realize that we have been chosen by God. You know, the Bible says that no man can cometh unto the Lord unless the Father, which is in heaven, draw him. Amen? So that means the very fact that you're here today should let you know that you're already loved of God. The very fact that you're here in this church today lets you know that you would not even have the smarts to be here if God had not drawn you out of where you were before you were saved. Amen? He drew you out of a place and put you in a position where you could see him and hear him, and you could receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. You would not even be able to do that if God hadn't first drawn you and loved you and pulled you into that position to be ready to receive him and to receive what he had for us. Amen? So I want you to know that God has loved you far beyond even the time that you knew he did and far before you ever even knew that he loved you. Amen? So that lets us know that one of our number one characteristics is power and not fear. You know, sometimes when we're praying, we don't think we have the power to deal with what we're dealing with, but you do have power to deal with what's going on in life. Amen? Your prayers are enough. Say that with me. Say, my prayers are enough. My prayers can bring change. My prayers can protect my family. My prayers can bring healing. My prayers can change outcomes. See, you've got to believe that. And you've got to know that some of the best prayers for your family are going to be made by you. Don't get me wrong, I'm here to help pray for you when you need the prayer, but some of the best prayers for your family are going to be made by you. Some of the best prayers for your spouse are going to be made by you. Some of the best prayers for your children are going to be made by you. Because you're the one who has power with God in the position that he's put you in, amen? He knew who that family was going to be, and he knew who you were going to be the parent of, and he knew who you were going to be the spouse of, amen? And he put them in your life because you have power and your faith to bring them to where they need to be, amen? See, sometimes we don't have faith to believe that our faith is enough to do work in the kingdom of God. And we've got to be able to believe that our faith is enough to do work in the kingdom of God. Your faith is enough. Your faith is enough to do what God has you doing and is enough to help you do what this thing called life is, and that you can be effective in every area and every aspect of this thing called life. Amen? And I want you to know that God is with you to do it. And God is with you to do all of these things. Amen? Amen. Now we're going to take a moment here to look at a scripture here, because I wonder if we really grasp this and if this is something that we've really gotten a hold of. So we're going to take a look in the Bible and we're just going to read this, and I want you to just think about your thoughts on this particular verse as we read it. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, it says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." You know, I think sometimes we forget these verses are in the Bible. And I think that sometimes we forget the power that's in the Bible for us to use. Amen? Because I'm wondering today, how many of us really think that we can say something and shall bind something on earth and it'll be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven? Do we believe that, you know, like miracles, for example, are something that we can help bring to pass here on this earth? Do we use our faith in this capacity? And then it says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now, of course, we know that we want to ask something that's in the will of God. We understand that. But do we really believe that us praying, that we can grab somebody and pray with them, and that what we pray about is absolutely going to be done? Since it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Do we believe in our faith that when we come together and there's two or three of us or more, that when we pray about something, it's going to be done? See, there's an authority that we have yet to walk in, and there's an authority that God is calling us to walk in, to where we really believe in who he's made us to be. Amen? And that we really grab a hold of the fact that he's making us into be somebody because he wants to move on our behalf and do things in a great way for us. Amen? Wow, it's just an interesting and amazing thing to think that whatsoever we could ask in his name. It shall be done for them by my Father which is in heaven. Amen. Do we grab a hold of that and realize that we have that much authority with God? Do we really believe that our prayers are some that if we ask that he will answer, and that we can go to him boldly? He says, "Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may receive mercy in your time of need." Are we those that go boldly before the throne of grace, believing that we're going to receive mercy in our time of need? Or are we those that sometimes we pray but we are not even sure if we believe in what we're praying. Or are we sure that we believe that it's going to come to pass or not? I want to read something to you out of the book of Psalms, chapter 8. In Psalms chapter 8, it says, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visit him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet." You know, when I think about us having all things under our feet, that's death, hell, and the grave, and even Satan are under our feet. Amen? And so when we sit there and see that and hear that, are we the people that believe that the Lord has given us dominion over all the works of his hands? And that he's put all things under our feet, and that we can live victorious in this thing called life. Are we the people that believe that out of him? Are we the people that believe that we can walk victoriously each day of our life? Are we the people that believe that God will give us victories even when the world says that we're not going to have a victory in a situation? Are we the people that believe that God will give us a victory in that situation? I'm just asking us today to consider the fact that there's many things yet for us to do, and many things yet for us to be involved in, and many things yet for us to believe God for. I'm going to read something out of Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "Therefore, it is of faith that I might be by that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who's the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were." You know, it's an amazing thing to recognize that God gives us the tool that he uses to live by. Faith. Is it not faith that calleth those things that are not as though they are, as though they were? And we see that God opens up the Bible by doing this, because he came to the earth that was without form and void, and the first thing he did was speak to it, and so it became something. And I want you to know that out of your faith, you have to remember that you speak to things, and so they become. Amen? And it's time for us to remember that when we speak, we have an authority that has come from God to speak over our situations and have something happen and see something happen. Amen? Remember, if we ask anything in his name, he will do it. Do you really believe when you go to the Lord in prayer that when you ask something, he's going to do it? Amen. Because we should be, that should be our confidence. We should have a confidence. Once we know a situation, like once we go to the doctor and we get a doctor's report, that should not be a place of fear and intimidation. That should be a place where we now feel like we have authority to go to God and get an outcome that's different than the world. Amen? When we know an outcome, or we know what we have a need of, a situation, whether it be financial, whether it be health, or whether it be in a relationship, once we know that there's a situation that we have need of, it should be a place of confidence for us. Because we should be able to say, hey, I'm going to go to God and have him get involved in this situation, so that he can bring an outcome that's going to glorify the kingdom and that's going to verify who he is in our lives. Amen? And so that's the kind of outcomes that we want to be believing God for, and these are the things that we want to believe God for. Remember, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I have toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Do you know that God has an outcome for you that he wants to bring you into? And it's not a place of evil, but it's a place of goodness, and that he has an expected outcome that he wants to give you. And it says, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. See, there it is again. When we pray, the Lord will hear what we have to say, and he'll listen to us, and he will meet our needs. Amen? But I want you to know something, that do you believe that God has an expected outcome for you that's a good one? Amen. Because that should be our mindset. That should be our thinking. We should know that God has an expected outcome for me that's going to be a good thing, that's going to be a blessing, and I'm going to believe God for that. Amen. I'm going to believe God that my outcomes are going to be those that are good. Amen. And when the enemy tries to fight us, these are good weapons of warfare to be able to use against anxiety and fear and worry and stress, is that you have scripture that says, no, God says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, good thoughts and not of evil, to give you an expected outcome and an expected good ending to a situation. Amen? And so when we get this kind of boldness to be able to grab a hold of these things in God, then we can start to see different outcomes happen for us, because we want to see those outcomes happen. Amen? And we want to see what God will do for us. I'm going to go to another scripture here, because this is another one that sometimes I think we forget that the Bible says these kind of things that's so straightforward. And it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Wow. Sometimes we might not be getting answers from the Lord because we're really afraid to go to him and seek him. Amen. Because he says that ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find. Amen. It says, what man is there of you whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he be given a serpent? If you then, being evil or natural, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Amen? And so we get a straightforward just a request of the Lord, that you would ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh finds, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. These are not questionable. These are not what ifs. These are guarantees that if we take something to God and we seek him for an answer, we're going to get an answer. Amen? And we have to be willing to hear what he has to say, and willing to hear and accept God's way of doing something. Amen. Now it says in James 4, 2, it says, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Yea, ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. In other words, the only reason we don't have certain answers is because we're not really asking God. Amen? And that sometimes when we do ask him for stuff, we ask amiss or with wrong motive or with wrong judgment or without wrong desires, we'll ask him for things. And those things lead us to no answer at all. Amen? And then the only other thing that I want to remind you of is that a double-minded man can receive nothing of God. Amen? We have to make sure that we're not double-minded. We have to make sure that we are straightforward. We have to make sure that we're grabbing a hold of everything God says for us and does for us, and that we just don't change or back up. Amen? We don't want to be double-minded people. Once we have set our faith in motion and we believe God for something, let's stick to the plan. Amen? Let's hold fast to our confession of faith. Hold fast to that confession of faith. Nothing wavering, amen? Because then you'll see outcomes that are of God, amen? And the Lord will bless and help us and do all those things that we need Him to do. Because our God is a good and a merciful, loving God, amen? Have you thought lately, and I'm just going to ask some questions here, have you thought lately and reminded yourself lately that you're made in the image of Jesus? That you're made in the image of God? And that if you're made in His image, if you do the things He does, like speak of those things that are not as though they are, that they will become? Have you really considered those kinds of things? Have you really thought lately that whatever I ask and whatever I bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever I loose on earth will be loosed in heaven? Have you really ever thought about those things? And have you thought lately that those are things that pertain to you and that you have a right to grab a hold of? These are questions that I'm asking because I want to stir our faith up. I want us to be stirred that in this time in which we live, that we don't back down from anything and that we grab a hold of what God has for us. Amen? That we grab a hold of what God is saying to us so that we can live this life in the way that He has for us, empowered and strengthened and reigning in this thing called life. Amen? That's what He promises us in Romans chapter 5, 14 through 17. He says that we can reign in this life and that we can be blessed in this life. And that's what God has for us, and that's what He has for each one of you here today, is that He wants you to live a life where you're blessed. Amen? If two of us would just agree on some things, we could see them come to pass. Wow. So I want you to take your spouse today, and I just want you guys to maybe think about writing some things down that you really believe in God for. Maybe there's something you're believing God for your family, or maybe there's something you're believing God for one of your children, or there's just something that you are believing God for, and I want you to just write it down and make it a point of saying, God, we're believing for this, this, and this. And see, sometimes, you know, the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain, amen? And sometimes we can put something before us, and it'll give us a concentration on it, and it will remind us to make sure that we grab a hold of it and we really look for it and we really dig in and we really focus on things, and then they'll come to pass for us. Amen? Amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just declare Your glory today, Father. Lord, we just exalt You and lift You up. And God, I just pray that each one of us, Father, would grab a hold of these things and would grab a hold of these thoughts, Father God, that we are made in Your image, Father God, and that we're children and that we have a place with You, Father, and that, God, You are speaking to our hearts today and touching us, Father. And Lord, I just thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Is there anybody here who's been to the doctor lately and has any thing that they need us to pray about this morning? We got a prayer request here. We're going to pray for Angie Ratcliffe and the Jordan family because her husband suddenly passed away unexpectedly. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just put Angie and her family before You, Father God. And God, we just pray blessing over this household, Father. Lord, that You would give them strength during this time, Father God, and somehow Your grace would be upon each family member as they work through this time, Father God. And God, I pray that You just help them and strengthen them. And God, we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Aw, come on. What's going on? Oh, no. Okay. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I just want to thank each and every one of you for being here this morning. And I'll be up here if anybody else needs prayer. But we thank you for being here, and you be blessed and have a very good Sunday afternoon. Amen.